So, my name's Candace Smith. I would consider myself a creative. But I kind of like, I think Amanda said this on a podcast she did with you a while back. I feel like we're made in God's image, and God is the ultimate creator. And so all of us are creative. And somewhere in our childhood, that gets kind of beaten out of us. And I think as some adults have just like held on to it as truth, God has had to reveal it and say, hey, this is who you are. Even though sometimes I don't think we always want to be called that, because it can be kind of scary. It can feel like you have to produce something. But I feel like if we're made in Imago Dei, and God is inherently creative. He's also made us to be creative. And so it's our journey, I think, in our life to find out where that creativity lies. And it changes throughout our lives.
And I knew right there in that intro that my tired bones were about to be taken to church. And not just any church, church for the creators and the makers and the people who like to get right up on the edge of what they're capable of and see what God can do. This time with Candace Smith was just healing and a bright light. She is a brilliant storyteller. Please go follow her. And as always, share this story if it means something to you and leave a rate and review. Check out this conversation with Candace.
And so when I was a younger mama, I had three little kids, and I was a stay-at-home mom, and you know, every day was like a Chopped episode. How these judges that I'm making food for, these three judges, will they eat this? And I have this limited budget, and here's what we're gonna make today. But that's where creativity could lie for me, was how can I make something that would be just sustaining to the soul, not just something to eat, but something that would be like soul driven, right? Yeah. So because money and time and who's going to pull out paints with little kids, right? So yeah, that's not really my life. But I really hadn't painted at all until about 2010. And so my kids are kind of, they're 11, 9, and 7, around that age. And I had moved from being a stay-at-home to being working part-time, and was going through a really difficult transition in my life. And I met, you know, I had been a believer all my life. So I met Jesus when I was a little tiny peanut, and have loved him since then. But a real experiential relationship with Jesus began for me, I think, in 2010. And the way that came out for me was through artistic endeavor. And so, you know, I was at this conference, and this woman was praying with me. And all of a sudden, I just saw the most beautiful vision. And there was just this innate desire in my soul that I knew I was supposed to paint that thing that I had just seen. Wow. And I had never painted before, but I was sobbing. I was having a moment with the Lord. It was this picture. I'm barefoot walking down this dry, cracked path, and there's like a picket fence and a gate. And I step through the gate, and wherever I step becomes life and growth and green and flowers, and it's just a promise. And it wasn't just for me, it was for, I was going to have to step through first, but it was for my whole family. And so we stepped through that spiritual gate, per se. And so and I began my journey with the Holy Spirit, and really learning to listen to God's voice in my quiet time. And he, you know, the scripture says he will teach you all things. The Holy Spirit's been given to us to teach us all things. And all is not a small word. If you really believe scripturally that every word of the Bible is God breathed, then we need to take that and go, okay, Lord, that's a big thing. Whatever you're asking me to do, and I feel ill-equipped to do it. I know that you're gonna teach me in some way, and kind of banking on that. So I was in my quiet time, and I was had just been pondering this vision for a few months, and basically it ran through my soul like a video, I would say, like step by step how to draw it out, and then step by step how to paint it. And because God is the God of miraculous things, it was drawn out in about 45 minutes, and it was painted in about an hour and a half.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Because God's gifts are bigger than we can understand.
You had never painted before.
It's my very first one. It's sitting in my living room today. And you know, I think the beautiful part, it was something I never knew I was built to do until I had gone through something traumatic, until I really had bent my knee to the Lordship of Jesus in an experiential way. Mm. And so I think for me, he used art and really me learning how to hear his voice when I was reading scripture in particular, to heal my heart and to heal my heart from the change that we had to step through in that gate scenario, and to really begin to blossom something significant in me as far as how I was to engage in worship with him, as an act of worship through painting, and then how I was to then share that with other people. And so that's been my journey since 2010 in art with Jesus. And I love claiming Christ for creative endeavor. I think he's the one that brought it to us the first anyway. So it should be claimed by Christ.
Did you continue painting, and did you start like selling them or leading people in it, or how does that work in your story?
Yeah. So I started painting a little bit more frequently for myself at first, and then my first commission piece, I met with a friend of mine who's a psychologist. And she wanted a piece for her office where she meets with people. And she was hoping it would particularly just help people in their process as they're processing with her. And so my process was the same. I said, well, okay, I think what we're going to do is I'm just going to come in and we're going to pray together. And then we're going to wait on the Holy Spirit and see what happens. So as we began to pray, I just saw this picture of first, it was just these birds on like a telephone wire, and I didn't really understand the full meaning behind it. And so I was kind of like talking to her. I'm an outward processor, so, and she is a psychologist, so it was working really well.
This is perfect, right?
Right. I'm pretty sure God set that up as my first commission piece just to like help me out, you know?
Yeah. You're like, I email you after this? Or?
Yeah. So, so I ended up painting that for her, and, you know, there's these different birds on these wires. And so when I was painting, God's just speaking to me, and he's giving me verses about the painting, and these little birds were positioned different ways, and each one had something to do with the way you're positioning yourself towards the cross. And there was one bird on the wire that was kind of lit up. She had light, and she's just a common, ordinary looking bird. And I don't know if you've studied birds very much, but you know, male birds are always more flamboyant. They're just brighter colored. And this is just this female, very brown, very subdued. And she just is like, her whole body and countenance and eyes are straight looking at the cross. And the cross was the actual telephone pole.
Okay.
And so, yeah. And then these other birds were just kind of, there were some that were more really concerned about how others were perceiving them. Mm-hmm. There were some that were very puffed up and like really proud. And anyway, it sat in her office, and she loved it. When I do a commission piece, everybody that goes on that journey with me is so gracious because, you know, they really don't know what they're getting. It's not like, hey, I want to get something that matches my couch and looks like this, you know, I can do that, but it's less fun, because let's let the Holy Spirit see what he says. So, yeah, she loved it. And, you know, she obviously never shares with me who is in her office, obviously, but other people in her office have been, God uses these paintings. So they're his, I'm just the vessel by which they go out, and God uses them and, to change their hearts. And so there've been some people that have asked her, you know, who painted that. And, she's given me, given them my contact information, and I've had a chance to hear their story. And so it's just super special to be a part of that.
Wow.
For sure.
So I want to ask you, from 2010 to now, do you are you excited and you trust that creative process, like as the Holy Spirit, or are there times where you get stuck in your head and it's hard to let that go?
Oh, every time.
Okay.
Every time. Yeah. I think that's a normal process that we all go through, is that we're having to die to ourselves to build something that is worth something in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's a sacrifice. We bring a sacrifice of praise. And so every time, and sometimes, you know, the enemy can have his play in that too, where it just feels crippling, like your fear is crippling. And I will have great successes in art and feel very confident that God is going to show up, and he's faithful every time. And yet here I am again going through, Lord, if you don't show up, I have nothing. And I'm really freaking out right now. So oftentimes I'll call, you know, my prayer partners or my mentors, somebody that, and just be like, sometimes it's been my kids. I'll be like, all right, you guys, I'm going in, and I just need you to lay hands and pray over me, which is usually the sweetest time for sure. And they speak, you know, your kids, they just know you. And so they just can speak the truth into your life like no other. And, they're all amazing humans. So yeah. Yeah, I would say I'm a normal person who definitely struggles and feels insecure for sure. But God is bigger than all of that. And I am really a human that's driven by relationship. Yes. And and connectivity. And I love to have the opportunity for someone to have something in their home that reminds them of a promise that God made to them.
Yes.
And something about who they are as a person. And to be that kind of conduit to give that kind of gift, it's amazing. I'm so thankful that I get to do that, and that people are willing to go on that journey with me.
That's incredible. And it goes beyond, yeah, like taste and color coordination. It's that next layer of what art is really created for, which is to move you to reach places within you that like normal things can't. I think that's
although I would say that God cares about all the little parts of us. And yeah, right. I did one painting one time where I didn't know who it was for. It was kind of the opposite. I had the image first, and I, you know, it was of the Nutcracker. And so there's 8 ballerinas, and it's from a perspective of like, if you were sitting up in backstage shooting down like a picture, and they weren't performing yet. They were just getting ready. Okay. And every bit of their, you know, they had their red ballet outfits on, and I didn't know who it was for. Well, it ended up being for this person, this friend of mine, and literally red is her favorite color. I mean, you know, where it was the word that went with it. There was scripture that went with it. And then God was like, and cherry on top, I know you love red, you know, like here's that too.
So. Yeah, he does care. He cares about that.
You know, I am a director of operations in my professional gig. So for me, that creativity, art is something that I do as a just, you know, citizen Candace. Yeah. And sometimes like we'll have night of worship and I'll pull the easel out and definitely During worship time. I've been asked to do like conferences or retreats and paint for those things as well. But my normal life, I'm pretty administrative. I love to connect people to Christ and to others. And then during COVID, we started a podcast, and that has been so fun.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. So we started the Barnabas Project, and with the idea and heart behind it to have kind of like a daily way of connecting with the Word as we were all feeling so disconnected within COVID.
Yeah.
And to hear familiar voices, to have that connection within our church family and beyond. And so usually we'll have a daily word. It'll be like, I think now we've been going through John, and we'll also have interviews of people because everybody has a story, and I love the opportunity to sit and hear, you know, God's faithfulness through someone's life. And we've gotten to be like front row seats to some pretty miraculous stories. And and then we've had these little like side series where my buddy Chong, he's doing a series on Revelation, and I did a series on the Enneagram, and so it's been really fun.
Yeah, I've loved it. It's been one of the things that has fed me during the pandemic from a different city, but I really do love it. And I see you guys developing and all finding your voices, which is so important in podcasting. It's one of the very special things in it. What has that been like for you to kind of find your voice that way and your connection with people?
So I've been in ministry now full time for 17 years. And most of the time when I'm working for a church, I am supporting someone else's vision. Yeah. And executing that as best as I can. So if the pastor sets the vision, man, I'm your girl. Like, we'll get her done, and we'll find the team and make it happen. And so for the first time, I really had a platform to be able to share and teach. I'd been doing some teaching last year, and really just, I think for podcasting for me, it's a medium that I fell in love with right away, because it's like what you and I are doing right now. You and I have never had a conversation before and have never even heard each other's voices. And yet we can connect, and those who are listening right now can connect to us. Mm. And God does this amazing thing through podcasting where he develops relationships and connectivity. Yeah. And we don't even know, we have no idea when these podcasts go out, like how God's going to use it to bless somebody. So in a lot of ways, it's similar to my work in the art world as well, where you just produce this thing and you just share from your heart. And I feel like the more authentic you are, which I find on your podcast that comes out, the more people get connected. And I just, this time of our world needs that connectivity. I loved the opportunity to be able to kind of produce the Enneagram series and go out and like headhunt for that. And I really did try to find men and women of, for each kind as much as I could. And just to have different voices, I think, and just to give other people an opportunity to speak as well. I love that. That's what I think I love about interviews, is that you get to share this platform and allow God to shine through someone else. And it's that kind of, we're all in this together, and let's see what God's doing.
Yeah. Do you like recording in a group with like three or four co-hosts, or do you like doing it yourself?
I love the group dynamic. I think it's fun and funny. You never know. I'm usually the one that's kind of being like, who's on the team today? Who's in the office? Who wants to be on today? And mixing that up as much as we can, because I think that's what makes it fresh.
Yeah.
And I really do love that. I think you and I had talked a little bit about when we allow the Holy Spirit, when we step back, allow the Holy Spirit to come in, not have it so scripted, miraculous things can happen. And we got to make room for that, right? So shake it up.
Yeah, I love it. And you can tell, you can feel that you guys love each other and there's like a kinship between you guys. I get jealous sometimes listening whenever there's like groups. I'm like, I need my people in my room like drinking coffee with me. So I, you know, right? I love it. And that's why I snag Amanda on here as often as I can. I'm like, get over here. Good. You're doing this with me. Or Cody, my husband.
I love that.
Okay, so I want to, you mentioned that you are on a resting boot camp. Can you tell me a little more about that? Because I'm on a bit of a mandatory resting boot camp
too. You are. So I think like yours is more strenuous than mine, for sure, Mama.
Well, you need to teach me about this because I don't want to hear about it.
All right. So I am really into Sabbath rest. I think God is really into Sabbath rest, as he has declared it's biblical and we all need to do it. But, you know, finding that Sabbath rest weekly, I think we all need to try to fight for that as much as we can. And I know there are 1,000 ways that that gets pushed aside because we have kids and we have lives and we're working and it's hard. But it is so good for our souls, and God knows what's best for us. So my family started a journey having a weekly Sabbath rest, and we started that before COVID, and so that actually helped us understand how to do COVID a little bit better, because we were ready and kind of prepared for what it would be like to be separated from our normal lives a little bit more. And you know, for me, Sabbath is not about a set of rules that you follow. It's about, literal rest from labor and taking that time to really sit before the Lord and in worship and to enjoy what he has given you, to really take time for joy. And, so it is within the culture of the church that I work for that you are blessed with a sabbatical, which is a lengthier Sabbath rest. Mm-hmm. And Pastor Cameron offered that to me last fall. And so it took a while for me to kind of get to where I could go for the extended time. I'm on a sabbatical right now in January and February. So to be gone for that length of time, I am very grateful for the gift that my church family is giving me right now. Yeah. And for that the staff is doing. I mean, the staff had to take on all of my duties and responsibilities and kind of here's the burden that's usually on my shoulders and now it's all on yours. And, right. You know, it's so gracious of them. But for me, a sabbatical really has to be the same way you live your normal life. So for me, God, we wake up and say, what are we going to do today? What does the day look like today? And it really did take a good solid 2 weeks into sabbatical. I'm 20 days in now, but it did take a good solid 2 weeks to be able to turn, my brain off from, the ministry work and the people that, I'm leading and kind of the jobs and the responsibilities that I have. And really it was kind of a little bit of an existential crisis in the beginning because I was just like, oh gosh, I need to use this time so wisely. This is such a gift. And if I don't use it wisely, then, you know, am I wasting it? And what does wisely even look like? And Holy Spirit would be like, girl, just rest. I've called it a rest. Like it's just rest. It's just rest. Yeah. And so just, I would have all of that kind of emotional response and then to be falling back into just love. And for me, that's what the Sabbath, I'm going to get all teary. That's what the Sabbath rest is for me. The sabbatical is about being reminded of how much I'm loved. And, you know, as my personality is definitely a helper,
and definitely someone who wants to come in and be connected with people, to be disconnected from people and to be disconnected from helping. You know, there's so much of my identity that was put in that, and to be able to go, wait, that's not my true actual soul identity. Those are the things that I do, but my true identity is daughter of the Most High and really super loved. That's who I actually am. Wow. And I guess just that, you know, so grateful for this time. There are not very many people in our world who get this kind of extended time away from the normal things. We kind of felt it in COVID, but there was still so much stress in COVID, and everybody still had to, you know, if you had a job, you were still working. So to be able to kind of put all that laid down, my days are gentle. My days are quiet, very introspective, very much, I'm filled with lots of curiosity. Like I can follow all those rabbit trails that I've always wanted to follow. And I have lots of different interests that I'm just having time to really develop myself as a human going into the next stage of her life, which is launching my kids out of here. My youngest is a senior and we have two in college. And so, you know, to go into that kind of season after having spent this kind of rest and having identity kind of put in place before those little peanuts leave the house, I think is going to be really important.
So important. That's so nice. Like, that thought of being loved for being and not doing and being, I guess, resting back in that, it feels like that would be hard work if you'd spent so much time doing and giving, and it gives you so much joy.
It is. I think there's a battle, there's an idea of like, oh my gosh, it's just like an extended vacation, you know, and that's true, but I'm also doing some really deep work with the Lord. So anytime, y'all know what that means, is like you're gonna be dealing with things that you need to repent of, and you're gonna be dealing with things of, you know, that you've agreed with the enemy on. And so, you know, I was telling my husband, I think I've found my rhythm where I get up, I have a gentle morning, you know, I take my time, drink my coffee. I listened to your husband's podcast a while back, and he's a news junkie, and so am I. So I will listen to some news, and you know, and then I'll go into my quiet time, and I'm reading a lot of books right now. And then in the afternoon, it's really a time to be creative. So I'm painting and I'm writing poetry. It's been really fun. I am really enjoying it, and I don't have to go to work till March 1st. So that's yay. Incredible.
Yeah. So what is the most surprising thing that's come up in you during this time, or did you already say it?
I would say that probably the most surprising thing is when you're faced with finding out what's really going on inside your soul, and you know, you've slowed down enough and you're quiet enough to hear it. Sometimes you get shocked by what you've believed in that's not true. And like, I can know it with my head, but now I know it with my heart. And I can know with my head that my identity is not in the things that I do, in my Martha self, but in my Mary self, you know, in my being before the Lord. And I needed time to be able to actually hear what was going on inside my soul. And that those truths kind of bubbling up and taking the time to really process that with the Lord. I think identity. For sure.
Well, what you're doing right now, I think, is going to be a giant gift to like everyone when you come back. So I'm really excited to see what happens.
I am hopeful. I have a lot of dreams about where I want art to go. And, you know, dreams and hopes for our band of people who call Faith Center their home. And I'm really excited about what that is and just how community, what community looks like. I'm excited because I feel like this is the time to kind of really put some roots down deep and then see what flourishes after, you know?
Wow, I'm really excited for that. Will you please email me and come back whenever some of that becomes
comes clear? To fruition? Yeah.
Yeah. Or your vision gets sharpened. I would really like to hear more about that.
Yes.
I love those stories. Okay, can I ask you a few just like general rapid fire questions?
You bet.
Okay. What is your Enneagram?
Oh, I'm a 2. Number.
A 2, mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes yeah.
And then are you watching anything during your sabbatical?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You're watching.
The binge.
The what binge are you watching?
Real. That's good. The binge is real. Okay. First of all, we did go get HBO Max so we could watch the new Wonder Woman. We did that. But I love a crime drama. Like I can't get enough. I love any type of crime drama. I will junk out on that for sure.
What's a favorite?
Gosh, you name it. I mean, I'm also just, I'm also kind of a British loving human. If we could ever move to the UK, I would totally do it. So any of those British, cheesy, detective shows, like all of them, like Endeavor, like any of those, if it was ever on PBS, I want to watch it. That's me for sure.
Oh, I love it. That's good. you mentioned that you're reading a lot in the afternoons. What are you reading right now that you love?
I am reading The Artisan's Soul by McManus, which I finished and I highly recommend.
I'm reading.
I'm reading Risk. Doing the Ridiculous to See the Miraculous. And I am reading, I'm also kind of, I love history. And I have a friend of mine, he just graduated with his history degree. And I was like, dude, what do I need to be reading right now? And he suggested The War That Ended Peace by Margaret Macmillan. And so I'm reading that. And just for fun, I'm reading a novel that was on the Reese Witherspoon book club because I love that too.
Yeah. What is it?
It was called Fable. It's a young adult adventure.
Fine.
I love that. Yeah. I have a stack. Gosh, I'm looking at it right now. It's probably 15 books high, and I don't have any expectations of finishing all of those books, but there we go. I'm gonna try. I'm gonna give it the college try.
That's so great. This is such a good season for reading. I like it.
Yeah.
Winter reading. Okay, so are you on, since you are all things British, are you on team tea or team coffee or both?
Oh, both, 100%. I just had a good, but I like a good cup of tea. I love Smith out of Portland. Mm-hmm. Their teas are amazing. I just had Meadow before we started here. Okay. My daughter is a barista, and so that's super handy. Although we just moved her to Eugene, which is we're excited for her, but man, my barista just left the house.
Barista is gone.
Yeah, right now what's hot in this house is Cuban coffee. We got a little Cuban coffee maker and our little mugs, and yeah, that's what we love.
That's so fun. Okay, last thing, what are you eating? What's your favorite? Are you a cook or not really?
Oh yeah, yeah, okay. I'm a foodie. I'm a foodie. Yay, for sure.
Me too.
Yeah, when the Sela came around and I got to go to the Sela, and y'all had planned on really artisan kind of meals, I was like, oh, thank God. Cause I love that. That was so good. So I am baking once a week, just something fun. I made a chocolate babka last week. Oh. And you know, just trying out fun things. And then I'm making it and we're eating a little bit and then I'm sending it out of this house because good Lord, I don't need those calories.
Gifting it with other people.
Yeah. I love a charcuterie board. I love to make them. I will make myself a board, which feels luxurious. Like my sabbatical life is luxurious to me. Like I wear what I want and I eat what I want. And that's, you know, that's part of it. So
it's good. Gorgeous. I love it. This is amazing. Okay. So make yourself a board. I feel like I should do that. I should just get all my kids out of the house and make myself a board.
You should. And you can make something really pretty, really fast. And it doesn't take fancy things, you know?
Right. Well, that's what I do love. I like food to be an experience and I like for it to look pretty too. Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of more of a pain in the butt, but it's like all my senses need to be engaged if I'm going to have like really enjoy my food.
Yeah. You know, I've seen those memes where it's like charcuterie boards are like the Lunchables for adults, but they work. I have
no problem with that.
I have no problem. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. That's totally fine with me. Oh, Candace, you are a delight and you are like I can feel over my computer that you are spending a lot of time with Jesus. And I love that. I need it. I'm hanging on to it. It's feeding me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I sometimes, do you ever have that feeling where you just don't want to spend time with Jesus?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You don't. There's times we go through, there's seasons like you're going through where you're just like, I've got the feels and they do not involve wanting to be around you, Lord. I love that our Jesus, he loves us all through those times too.
Yeah.
And you know, like it doesn't, he longs for us and he loves us and he knows what's best for us, but also he knows how we tick. And he knows when we're, you know, today is not a day that I'm going to connect with him today, you know? And I feel like there's grace for that. There's grace for that. Yeah.
I'm trying to be faithful, but I also have never felt so well how secure he is, where he's like, I'm not insecure. It's okay if you're not like putting in, you know, putting in your like minutes every day. Like I know how you really feel and like, I'm right here and I'm okay with how you're doing. And so that's been pretty nice for me to be like, step out of the transactional and be like, okay, you're bigger than this. And you know that I'm like, I'm like tapped out. And I have sort of borrowing off of the faith and prayers of others. And I feel like that's pretty been beautiful for me too.
Yes. I think that's one of the wonderful ways that we can be as a body of Christ is to be like, I can lift your hands right now. If you can't lift them, I can.
Yeah.
And pray on your behalf. I had this image one time for, and I'll probably end up being a painting at some point, but you know, I have had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with people who are in grief and who have had trauma. And I have this picture of the Lord's hands holding that person completely. And there's just like this warmth, this yellow glow, this orange yellow glow inside those hands. And inside those hands, whoever's in there can act and be however they need to be. They can hit the hands. They can cuss at the hands. They can cry. They can be joyful. They can have multiple emotions at the same time. Uh-huh. And he's like, I got you. And then outside those hands are the hands outstretched of all of that person's loved ones who are also raising and extending their hearts and their hands towards that person who's grieving or in trauma. And it's just this beautiful picture that that's the body of Christ to me. And that's who Christ is during those times. And I hope it becomes a painting at some point.
Yeah. I mean, you made me cry. So that's good. I feel like you should paint that at some point. Thank you. Thanks for telling me.
You are held. Yeah. Ah,
thank you.
You guys, I wanted to remind you that there's still a few spots left for the Creative Sailor Retreat happening June 11th through the 14th. Come create, rest, and feast with us. If you're interested and want more details, you can DM me or you can email creativesailorretreats@gmail.com.
So while I was at Sela, I knew I was going to be doing a painting. It was a commission piece for a friend of mine I went to high school with. And he was an Army Ranger, really super tough guy, found Jesus when he was on one of his tours. And now he's a pastor. Mm. And he had asked me to paint for him. And so one of the reasons why I was attracted to Sela and going on this little retreat, I don't know you guys. We're friends of friends, and I'm just kind of scrolling through Instagram, and I saw your post, and instantly the Holy Spirit was like, "You should go to this thing," and I was like, "I should go to this thing," and so, yeah, and just to have, it was a different way for me to be creative, because I usually paint by myself. And so to paint with other people was something different and new and not necessarily intimidating, but I just didn't know how it was going to roll. Yeah. But I knew already which painting I was supposed to do. And usually when I sit down, it was all out of Psalm 23, and which was, I think, timely for what was happening in your life and what was happening for the people who were connected to you during that season of Sela. So there was a river and a canyon, and I think that was one of the beautiful things about waking up in that space. You guys did an amazing job of making space for, I was one of those people that didn't know anyone when I went there, and to come in and feel comfortable and to be able to set up my easel and feel like, okay, I'm going to go through all my jitters. I'm going to sit here and just do my thing. And I got my worship music on and just went to town. And the painting was done in probably about an hour, hour and a half.
You're kidding.
No.
Crazy.
These paintings of mine, I will sit on them for months. I will think about them. I think that's the difference between someone who's a painter and someone who likes to draw, because a sketch artist will just, they'll sketch and sketch and sketch and sketch, and just, it'll just come out right away. But I think for painters, we will sit and think about things for a while. And for me, it's always been fast. I work in acrylics. And so, yeah, but that painting was all about Psalm 23 and just the beauty of, let me get to what I wrote. And that was the other thing I felt like with Sela, I had a lot of time to be able to process what I had just painted, which is important because it's always important for me to, there's a word that goes with the painting and there's usually a scripture that goes with the painting.
Right.
But this one was called River of Peace. Whether standing on the tall peaks of our experience or laying in the deepest valleys, God is there. His perspective and holy viewpoint sees all the highs and lows as valuable and beautiful. The deepest valleys are stretches of experience we would rather forego and trade for exhilarating mountaintops, but rivers are found in the bottom of canyons. The promises made during those times in the darkest valleys bring rivers of light and life that birth courage, hope, and joy.